Hello, and welcome to the Innovation Research Interchange podcast series on innovation during the pandemic.
Hello, I'm Dan Abramowitz, Chief Technology Officer with Crown, and happy to introduce IRI's first podcast based on the coronavirus. I'm happy to have with me today Lou Grizzo from FM Global. Lou, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. I really appreciate being here. I'm Lou Grizzo, Vice President of Research for FM Global.
For our audience, maybe just a little bit about FM Global, just so they understand the world you live in.
Sure. Well, we're a commercial industrial property insurance company. We're mutually owned, been around for over 180 years, with the fundamental belief that through research-based engineering, we can work with our clients to reduce their property risk and then ensure the risk that we can't reduce. So our research organization works on all kinds of bad things, fires, explosions, natural hazards, cyber attacks, anything that could cause damage to a business.
Terrific. Thanks for that. And as you know, we wanted to introduce these podcasts to help share some best practices, some ideas that parts of the membership were using to help to manage this situation right now. And as you know, we think a high-touch leadership style is particularly important right now, given the uncertainty that we're facing. Are you seeing that in your organization?
Well, Dan, I really appreciate you broaching that term with me because I think it's extremely accurate. And we're really facing some very uncertain times brought on by a very rapid change where we went from encouraging a lot of physical interaction to essentially having remote workplaces and very little, if no, physical interaction. And so the maintenance of that communication and connectivity is really important because I think we all know that whenever there's a gap in information, it almost always generates some unfavorable outcomes.
That's a great point. Void can be filled with negativity. And I know you're big on communication, right? You have quarterly physical all-hands meetings with your teams, right?
So, yeah, we're fortunate enough to have virtually everybody in two sites an hour drive apart, so it's possible to cover one and then the other very quickly afterwards. But I understand you have people all over the world, right, Dan?
Yeah, so I've been doing quarterly all-hands meetings myself, but I've been doing it a little bit differently, usually as a simulcast, so synchronously with each of the R&D facilities. So it's a little bit different. The physical is certainly desired, but of course we're dealing in a world right now where there is no physical option. I know you have been looking at now virtual town halls as one of the ways you are maintaining that communication. I'm curious why you decided to go that route.
Yeah, it's a good question. In terms of the driver for this, I have regular weekly meetings with my direct reports, and we were brainstorming on some ways that we could ramp up the communication and keep people engaged. And it's especially a challenge for us because we do have a fair fraction of our workforce, our lab techs and our hands-on engineers that are not able to get to their equipment, not able to be working in the lab and are now doing something different. So the recommendation was to have a town hall that would be a video kind of version of what we typically would do with an all-hands meeting, and really focus it on the kinds of things our people may be wanting to know about, but really with kind of three main goals. The first is to make sure everybody stays engaged. The second is to make sure everybody's being as productive as they can be. And the third is being to explore some possible new things.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea. And I think an initiative others would love to know more about. How did it actually work, you know, from a tactical perspective? How did you actually do it? Did you use any particular platform from an IT perspective? I'm kind of interested in the logistical part of it.
We have used Skype for our weekly seminars, and we've started doing those now via Skype rather than in person, where project leaders present projects they're working on to engage the collective expertise of the organization. We use Skype again. This last one we had 120 people on with a moderator. Questions were put forth through the chat feature there. We do have some of our staff that joined by phone just because of a lack of a good internet connection. But having the moderator really, really helped. But Skype is just one platform. I'm sure you've used some as well, right, Dan?
Yes, yes. And I'm, you know, really interested in how you got interaction with your audience. So 120 people, that's a lot of people to have simultaneously engaged. You said you had a moderator. How did they actually manage the interaction with the audience?
Yeah, the moderator was our senior research fellow, and he put very pointed questions to the audience, asked them to talk about, you know, what's the last thing you've done that you want to share with your colleagues? What are the questions that you have? What are the questions about the company? What are the questions about that you might have about going back to returning to a more normal work force. So it was an information exchange, but then there's those kind of prompted questions, very specific asks that sometimes lead to different places, but in help engage people and popping up through chat. Sometimes they would type in their questions or comments. Sometimes they would ask to say, I have a question, and the moderator would turn the microphone over to that person.
Oh, I see. And so they actually got to participate vocally as well. That sounds great. What did you think of the level of interaction in this virtual world versus what you had seen in your more physical all-hands meetings?
Well, that was certainly something we were worried about because, you know, when you do a video broadcast, it's kind of coming at your audience. And really, of course, what I think you and I would agree on is we want to engage them and have a discussion. The interesting thing is, you know, we have kind of the people that always engage and you can look at their body language and they always ask questions, but we got some engagement from people we typically don't hear from.
I guess that's not surprising if I think about it now. You know, there are some people who are just a little less likely to raise their hand in a crowd, but this is a little bit more of an anonymous setting. I wonder if, you know, this could be a little bit of an unanticipated benefit of sorts, that we could actually get more interaction from more parts of the organization who weren't as proactive in terms of sharing those ideas or their thoughts previously.
That's a great point. And it may be easy for them to just type in a quick thought on the chat feature, and then it's just something they're more comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned I do the all hands as well, and I've always tried to get good interaction, particularly with the remote sites. You may get some questions from the physical audience, but the remote sites are pretty quiet, at least it's been my experience. So we actually use this interesting tool called Turning Point. It's a real-time survey, so everyone on each site has a little device. I put questions up for them to answer, and I can cut the answers by site or by other demographics, and in real time get feedback from everyone in the organization on a question. So I think these ideas of getting more interaction from other parts of the organization and ways to do it are always a challenge. And it sounds like this chat feature and I love that idea of handing the mic over to someone in the audience. Sounds like that's worked very nicely here.
I love the voting option, Dan. We'll look into that, because then you really do kind of push it out to everybody, and they've got a button that they're gonna act on.
Yeah, and if you take the effort to ask the questions well, you'll get some really valuable information back, and then you need to respond in real time. Maybe yes. People have responded the way you'd predicted, but maybe not. And oh well, you don't think we did that well in this case. Let me explore that more. So. Yeah, I agree. It can be quite powerful. So with your first town hall, virtual town hall behind you, what do you think? Was it successful?
I think it really helped us get started in a new way of working. You know, we want to hear from everybody. Probably the most valuable thing, in addition to hearing from some people that we typically might not hear from, is the cross interaction between people in similar situations, folks that can't get in the lab are now, well, they've done training for a week or two, and now they're starting to skill build, and they found some great program to skill build. They had cited some new online things that they've really found interesting and valuable that were free or that were at minimal cost, and they were sharing that with the entire group. I think that's probably the most valuable thing that came out of the first one. The challenge now will be for us to keep it up, because as time goes on, the new things are going to be really what we're going to focus on.
Well, I'll tell you, that's great that you got that kind of sharing happening in real time amongst your organization. I'd say that was successful. Was there anything unexpected, anything surprising from your experience from the event?
You know, Dan, I was surprised by some of the people on the phone chiming in. You know, you always think that maybe they don't have as easy access to that chat button. But when you see they're on the phone and they hear a question, they sense a break, and good moderator will make sure that they have time to talk. And that's really important. Of course, we want to hear from everybody. So, I do like the voting idea as an additional way to engage people. And we're going to keep trying to be innovative about ways to make sure that there's that information sharing and people are providing their thoughts, because we try to think about what's on people's mind and talk to those, but we can't foresee everything, and we really need that dialogue.
That sounds very true. And I think this idea of a good moderator is a fascinating idea. How long did the town hall actually take? I guess if you're trying to give time for each person or people in the audience to talk, you need to be patient with pauses, so to speak. How long did it go?
You know, Dan, our typical all hands meeting is about an hour. I expect yours probably not too far away from that. But right. We were finished within an hour. I tried to keep the message fairly short. In terms of, kicking off some things that I'd heard back from the managers that people wanted to hear about regarding the company and what we were doing and our plans and our vision for the near future. But we were done in under an hour.
Okay, terrific. So using this term again, which I've stolen from someone I don't even recall, this high touch management or leadership style that we need now. Curious, are there any other initiatives your group is trying in that same vein?
You know, I think that the high touch initiative has really kind of gotten us into a rhythm. When we started this remote workplace, we agreed that we were going to have a manager make contact with every employee every couple days at least. And we seem to kind of gotten in a rhythm. The managers are talking to their employees, they're rolling it up, the directors are having their area-wide meetings, then they bring that input to the meeting of my direct reports. We talk about those things. I send out a weekly email towards the end of the week, and then the CEO will often follow up with his own email the next Monday, Tuesday. So we seem to kind of gotten in an operating mode, which I think is actually kind of remarkable considering, very quick change, a lot of uncertainty, and now we've settled into really a new way of connecting everybody together for the common good. The challenge will be now, can we use this new way of working to take advantage of some new opportunities, to be innovative now that people have some time to think about things and work on things because they don't have a wrench or a thermocouple or an SEM in their hands. And how can we take advantage of that? And maybe you've got some ideas there that I'd love to hear.
Well, I mean, I think you're right about this rhythm, and I've seen that in my own organization. Whether they're working from home or now what we refer to as working in office, we've got two new terms, people sharing responsibilities. I think there is more communication happening amongst the groups. I know I have a lot of teams that are having daily calls where they talk about things, share screens, share ideas with each other. I'm not sure there isn't, in some cases, a bit more communication happening than there might have been when they were sitting in at desks, 5 feet from each other. I don't know. Do you think that might be true?
That's a great point. And I think it is. I think especially for some groups, that's the way this has worked out, which may be a really positive unintended consequence.
Great point. So I know you're a real believer in communication as a leader. What do you think? Has this experience convinced you that this higher touch managerial style is something we need to be doing even when we go back to normal, if that's even the right term?
Returning to the workplace is going to be interesting. And yeah, I love your high touch leadership. And that's certainly something that I think we're going to work to pursue as hard as we can. You know, returning back to the office is even going to be different. We're going to at least initially keep physical separation until this is all completely gone. We're going to be doing a lot of things that are still going to limit our physical interaction. And the ability to communicate better, as you did a great job pointing out, is going to be our challenge. So now we're going to go maybe to some kind of a hybrid remote on-site mode of high-touch leadership, which will be interesting to put together.
Terrific. Lou, I really appreciate your taking some time to share what you've been doing with your virtual town halls and some of the other things that are happening at FM Global. Any other words of advice you'd like to share with other R&D leaders as we manage through these challenging times?
Well, I think the challenge we all face is not the people that are used to working behind computers that are doing that now, just in a different place. It's the people that were working in the laboratory that can't do those same things. And so, you know, the opportunities to have those people continue to make sure that they understand that they're extremely valued, maybe think about ways when they go back in the lab they can do things better. Maybe that's the way that we can start focusing these next few weeks until we start resuming a more normal mode of operation.
Excellent. All right. Lou, thank you again. And I look forward to seeing you in person in the near future.
Dan, thank you so much for your high touch leadership term and for setting this up and chatting this through with me. And really impressive to hear the things that Crown is doing. And I certainly learned from them today.
Stay well and stay safe.
And the same to you and same to everyone else.
All right.